You are listening to Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.
Way too kind, way too kind. JT, there's something good about being just him. No pressure, no titles or anything, and just relax. Hey, I heard that there are rumors going around that I'm retired, but here I am, regardless. I've been retired for 2 years, January 1st, 2020. And I'm still in the process of kind of figuring out what does retirement mean for me. I have learned that retirement from my vantage point is a lot different than retirement from God's vantage point. There are some things that I want to do, and He will come somewhat frequently and override those emotional desires and those physical desires and those things. And I've learned enough to know that you'll be a lot happier if you just do what that song said, surrender to Him. Okay, God, I may want to do this, but if you want me to do this, I will do it. Well, I'm here today. I'm glad to be here. It's a good thing. I feel privileged. Thank you to Pastor Andrew and the First Lady Candace for allowing me the privilege. It's wonderful to be here. I don't want you to think that I'm weird as I begin. Because I know a lot of you, but there's a lot of people that I don't. And I don't want you to think that I'm crazy, but I titled my message, How to Mend a Broken Heart. Now, that's not the crazy part. The crazy part or the weird part is that I didn't get this message while I was praying or studying the Bible or seeking God for what He would want me to say. I got it while I was listening to a Bee Gees song on a concert that I have recorded. Barry Gibb and Robin Gibb, they wrote a song called How Can I Mend a Broken Heart. It's kind of a sad song, kind of a bit depressed. How many of you have ever heard it before, okay? So some of you have. You're coming out of the closet today, letting people know you listen to the Bee Gees. It happened to be she loved their music primarily because of the harmony. And I was feeling a bit melancholy, and some of you probably have moments where you feel melancholy for whatever reason. So I'm in bed just before I go to sleep, and I turn on that to listen to it. And I'm listening to that song and crying a little bit, to be honest. And I finally just shut it off because it's at the first of the concert that we've recorded. And I turned it off, and I sat up, and I says, Lord, how do you heal a broken heart? And that started, I guess God thought I was serious, because that started a two-week conversation. And as I began to study again the scriptures and started a domino effect, He began to talk to me. And I've learned and relearned some things. And one of the things I've relearned is that He knows a lot about broken hearts. You know why? Because we broke His heart. Gave us everything. Put Adam and Eve in a garden, said, I'm going to take care of you, provide for you. I'm going to give you everything you see here is yours. There wasn't 10 commandments like Moses gave the people of Israel. Then Pharisees, leaders, religious leaders made hundreds of commandments. Then Jesus reduced them to two. There wasn't even two. There's just one. He says, I'm going to give you everything. Just one thing I want for myself. It's called the tree of life. But in human form, there was something inside of us that wanted that too. So we decided to take it from Him. And by doing so, we opened the door to selfishness, self-centeredness, and to death. I was doing a funeral recently, and at the funeral I paused just to remind the people that God doesn't cause death. We do. Death is on us. We're the one who rebelled. God doesn't cause it. He is certainly the one who determines how long we get. Bible says that there's an allotted time that every person has. He's the one who determines. That's above my pay grade. Why do some only get 5 years? Why do others get 30? Why do some get 70, even go up to 100? Why is that? I don't know. But I do know that he's the one who came back and turned death around so that we could live. So what I bring to the table today is I want to share with you the three steps that God took to heal our hearts. Two steps that he took to heal our hearts, but then the third step he took to renew and refresh our relationship with him. Because when we sinned, we severed a relationship with Jesus. It was broken. It needed to be put back together. So if you're taking notes and you have your notes there, please write down, and this is what I got those 2 weeks that the Lord talked to me. Number one in your notes, everyone gets hurt by people or a person at some time or another. So you don't have to feel bad if you're here today and you've been hurt. Well, I've been hurt too. We've all been hurt, and we all get hurt periodically. People aren't the only things that hurt us. We get hurt by other things, but my focus this morning is on how we mend a heart where it involves people. Either we've hurt them or they've hurt us. Sometimes, number two, we are the ones that hurt others. When I think of that, I mean, I can tell you a lot of hurts that I've gotten from people. Some people have never come back to church again because they were hurt by the church. I've been hurt a lot, as you have, but I've hurt a lot of people too. I mean, a lot of you don't know me, so the way I speak, I'm not as tempered as Pastor Andrew. I'm not as logical as Pastor Andrew. I don't say things in secret. Sometimes I'll just say things that just really mess your mind up. And that's why if you were here for a long time, Pastor Andrew had to come up and interpret. I messed things up. He cleaned things up. So and that's why God put him in this position. Okay, I'm telling you, this is the way it is. So I don't know how many people I've hurt by the things I've said. But I know the ones I have hurt, I kind of feel like, to be honest, it's harder for me to forgive myself for those things. Almost like if I decided to drink and drive and I had someone with me and I got in an accident and it killed them, how do you forgive yourself for that? That is so, I mean, it's possible, but it's so hard to do. It seems to me to be easier to forgive someone else who has hurt you. Number three, hurts don't heal without proper attention. Even a scratch, if you don't put a Band-Aid over it, it can get infected and cause a lot of problems down the road. Number four, I heard unhealed hurts become a breeding ground for future pain. Listen to this scripture, Hebrews 12:14. Work at living in peace with everyone, and work at living a holy life. Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. And here it is. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, because if you don't get healed from your hurts that have come from the past, it will trouble you later on in life, but it will also, the scripture says, corrupt others. You know, what happens to us is that if you've ever been through a divorce, and I never have, but I've been through relationships that were strong and then they stopped, what happens is that we get hurt in this relationship and we never get healed, so we carry our bags into the next relationship, and at some point we'll get hurt all over again. Doesn't that make sense? Haven't you seen that happen? Maybe you've experienced that in your own life. We need to unpack our bags, because unhealed hurts will cause problems and corrupt others. Let me tell you, if you have a bad attitude, my mother used to tell me, she says, you got a bad attitude. Go back to bed and get up on the other side. And I thought, so I'd go into the bed and I'd get up on the other side. That didn't seem to help. I didn't understand what she was saying. She said, you got a bad attitude. You can tell when someone's got a bad attitude. It just kind of, you almost can smell it. It's just there. And number five, hurt people. I didn't come up with that. That's a quote. But man, it's a darn good one because it's so real. if you aren't healed. It's imperative, church, that you and I get healed from our past hurts, because if we don't, we never move beyond the point of that hurt. And we will, to some extent, hurt other people. So let me share with you the two steps that God gave me, that he did to mend our brokenness, and that we need to do if we're going to mend our brokenness that comes from hurts from other people or hurts that we've caused from other people. The first thing, if you're still taking notes, write it down. Jesus returned to ground zero. He came back to this planet that he made for us, and he gave it to us and lavished it upon us, and we broke his heart, and he decided to come back. Listen to this. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he sent, he gave, and Jesus came to the world, to this planet." He came back to point zero. If you and I are going to be healed from our past hurts, we have to go back to ground zero. The principle here that you can read, I think it's in your notes, when you run from the pain of your past and don't face it, healing will remain elusive. Let me tell you a story that is not just about me. We all have a story, but it'll help to illustrate how God works in this principle that I'm sharing with you. This hurt that I experienced happened in chapter 15, 16, 17, and 18 of my life. I was in high school. And I was born into a home. It was the Howards, Earl Howard and Gwendolyn Howard. And we were in my estimation of, in my memory, what I experienced, we were very poor. Very seldom can I ever remember them buying me a new shirt. I got stuff from other places like Goodwill or things like that that I wore. I was born in a town called Gardner, Maine. It was 6,000 people. Lemoore is about 28,000. And Hanford, I believe, is about 58,000 the last time I checked. So 6,000 is pretty small. You don't know everybody's name, but you basically know what's going on in every family. And my dad, because we were poor, he drove a rubbish truck. It was our business. And we were known as one of four rubbish people. So whenever they would think of the Howards, they would, oh, they're the rubbish people. And now when you see the rubbish trucks come by now every week, man, I look at them and they have beautiful trucks, air conditioning, radio, and all you have to do is press a button, the little thing comes out, grabs your can, dumps it up like that. I get good money. I'd do that now, no problem. Back in those days, we had a 2-ton dump truck. You had sideboards that you built, put up. And you'd get out of the truck, and you'd go into the house, and you'd get the trash. Sometimes it was in just a regular can. Sometimes it was a couple of barrels, 50-gallon barrels. You'd roll them out to the truck. You'd get your ladder out. You'd put the thing on the can on your leg. You'd work your way up the ladder, dump it out. And if you've ever been around a lot of garbage, it stinks. Then you'd have to get into the truck and you'd have to jump it down to make sure it didn't fly away. And when you do that for 4 or 5 hours, you stink. You don't have a fragrance, you have an odor. Kind of like a skunk. Who wants to be around a skunk? No one does. Then to make matters work in a small town, you had to go up to the door. And I had some friends in high school, and a lot of times they would come to the door. And you had to collect the money. At that time, it was 50 cents a week. We went up to 75 cents before I graduated. And you're all filthy, you stink, and you knock on the door to collect the money. And the kid that is one of your classmates would say, "Hey, Mom, the garbage man's here." And as I went to school, I went by one memorable time. It was about 10 to 15 guys and girls, and they were all the kind of the popular people, and those are the types of people that they never talked to me. I wasn't a part of that group. After all, I was just the rubbish man. A rubbish man is the people who come from the other side of the tracks. And on this one occasion, you know, these jocks and these girls and all the popular ones, they threw a few pieces of paper on the ground, their cup they were drinking, and say, "Hey, rubbish boy, come and pick it up." And in my pea brain, as my teen years, I began to view myself in a certain way. You remember when the Israelites went into the land of giants, the Canaan land, and they came back and said, "We are like grasshoppers in their sight. And they see us that way, and we see ourselves that way." I wasn't strong enough at that time to be able to rise above that. What they saw of me, I began to believe. And I began to believe that I was worthless, that I didn't have any value. I'm just a rubbish man. I have nothing to bring to the table. I'm not important. If you know that song, the Bee Gees, the one that this is my message, there's a verse that starts out, says, "How can you mend a broken heart?" But the second verse says, "How can you mend this broken man? How can a loser ever win?" And that would be the term that I would describe myself. I empathize with these kids who are doing outlandish things because they're loners. And a lot of times people put them, doesn't excuse them, but they cause some of those, they're a part of some of those things that cause those kids to go off track. And the nail in the coffin came when I was a junior in high school. I was in a class and my teacher was Mr. Tracy. He was an ex-Marine, very gruff, very rough. And there's about 30 kids, and we're there, and we're supposed to do our homework, and I didn't. And he asked me a question. He says, "Tim, what's the answer to this?" I didn't know because I didn't do the homework. So I gave a flippant and a funny response, which caused almost all the kids to laugh. I learned at an early age that God gave me an ability to kind of make people laugh at times. And I also learned with that if you can make people laugh, they won't see the pain that's going on inside. So when I have a flippant answer and I make a funny response and everybody laughs, they can't see that I'm hurting. I'm already hurting because of the way I see myself, which is fueled by the way others say that they see me. And Mr. Tracy says, "Stand up." This is so vivid, I could tell you verbatim all that he said. But this is a lot of years ago. He said, "Stand up. He said, do you think you're funny?" Now, I was smart enough to know that was a rhetorical question. You don't say to an ex-Marine, I know that. No, I just stood there. He says, "Well, I should have expected it. You're just nothing but a rubbish boy." I'll tell you, it was almost like a "stop, you had me at hello" moment. Stop. I'm done listening. And I walked out of the room. He followed me out and I just kept walking. I never came back to that class. I never talked to him again. And that culmination of 4 years, he hit me so deeply. See, you can scratch yourself, but there are some pains. I think all of us probably, how many of you have a physical scar? I could point out a lot. So how many of you got physical scars? Well, you know, I'll tell you, I'm just going to say it, all of us have emotional scars and mental scars. And that encounter in those 4 years and with Mr. Tracy, it was the last nail in the coffin. It wrote in cement my view of myself that lasted for the next 12 years. I was 18 years old. It wasn't until I was 30 years old. I hadn't even told my wife this story because I was so ashamed of being a garbage man And today I look at the garbage trucks. I say, I'll take that. You know, that's good. I don't mind doing that. But then, totally different. And at 30 years old, I was in the ministry by this time. I came not here, but to Valley Christian Center in Fresno in 1973. So at that time, I was in the ministry. And every decade, I would pray a prayer. And my prayer when I turned 30 was, Lord, for the next decade, would you help me to be like you, make me a servant? Make me into someone who walks humbly before you. Make me into someone who doesn't want to be up on top of people telling them what to do, but help me to become a man of integrity who stands underneath people and lets them shine more than me. And as I prayed that, the Lord says, that's what I want to do. But I can't do that until you get healed from your past. Because you're not healed. Every time you hear the name Mr. Tracy, you just start to emotionally fill with anger. I hated that man with all the hatred. You talk about the root of bitterness that gets planted in people. That root was planted in my junior year of high school, and it didn't get uprooted. So over the years, it can grow pretty strong. And every time, it's kind of like you have something, someone has hurt you, and when you see them in the store, what do? You go the other way. You just hear their name, and you emotionally wince at that. Those are signs you haven't been healed yet. And I had all the signs. And so here's what I did. I did just what I'm telling you that Jesus did. He went back to ground zero. So I went back to ground zero. Those aren't years. I've never been to a high school reunion. I never would. Those were black, dark years for me. But this time, I went back armed with truth. You know, Mercy Me, I don't listen to a lot of their music, but I did in the past. They wrote a song, Dear Younger Me. You remember that? It's like the older me goes back to the younger me and tells the younger me what he knows now. Does that sound crazy? But it's what I do with my grandson. It's what I do with my kids. I set them down. I'm trying to talk to them because the younger me has learned some things. And now that I'm old, I want to tell you so that I can guard you from some of these pitfalls that I moved into. We're trying to do that with our kids. I think of Psalms 39 and 139 where it says, God has gone into my future to prepare the way, and in kindness he follows behind me to spare me from the harm of my past. He says, you have laid your hand upon me, God, and it's too marvelous for me. See, God has already been in your future. So when he comes back to you to tell you that things are going to work out, I'm going to take care of things. Don't worry about tomorrow. Just think about today. Tomorrow will have enough worries of its own. When he says that to you, you need to listen to that. I have authority to go back to me because that was me. So I went back to me. And I said things like Lauren Daigle sings in a song called I Believe. I said not in the same words, but I said to my younger me when I was hurt, I say you're loved when you don't feel anything. I say you're strong when you think you're weak. I say that you're held when you feel like you've fallen short. And when you say that you don't belong, I'm telling you that you're mine. And I talked and I says, Timmy, that's what I call him. Only a few people call me that today. Timmy, God's got some good things in store for you later on. He says to you, I'm going to do things and touch a lot of people that you'll never even imagine. You'll never even be able to dream the dream that I have in store for you. But in order to fulfill that, I've got to build character in you. I got to make you into a man of integrity. And right now, it's depressing for you, and it's difficult for you, and you feel like it's terrible, but I'm telling you, I'm using it to build you. And in the long run, you're going to be able to be strong and do what I've called you to do. So that was the conversation I have to you. And you know, it wasn't, I don't know how long it was, but sometime after that, I found myself giving God praise for my past. That's a sign of healing. I don't thank God for everything that's happened in my life, but I do thank Him that in the midst of all those dark times, He came through and He healed me. And since that time, yeah, I remember the name Mr. Tracy. I remember all those kids who threw the paper at me. I heard all the comments from my classmates. Hey, the garbage man's here. Doesn't affect me anymore. Why is that? Finally got healed. God came down. He's the one who went back to my ground zero, uprooted that large root. Some of them get pretty big, and it's gone. Still there. I still remember it. I can talk to you. You never forget those things. They don't have to have any stigma in yourself, though. Second thing that God did. Second thing that God did is that Jesus came and He extended forgiveness and not judgment. God sent His Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through Him. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. The principle here is if we receive forgiveness from God, we must give forgiveness to those who have hurt us. And I didn't add this to your notes, but we should also give forgiveness to ourselves for those that we have hurt. Let me tell you the second story. It was 2001. I was had been an associate pastor since 1973 at a church called Valley Christian Center in Fresno. Many of those years, I was the executive pastor. And I went to Europe to do a ministry training for leadership over there in 2001. And excuse me, 2000, in the year 2000, and returned. And then I retired in 2001 because when on the flight back, God said, your time is done. Kind of in 2020, God said, my time is done here. You've done a good job. At least I want to think I did. Or I'm deceiving myself. But you know, this next season is not going to be your forte. And so He raised up Andrew and Carrie. And I'll tell you, I can't, you know, speak from you, but I think they're doing an awesome job. I mean, just better than I could have hoped for. And just wonderful teachers and stuff. And, you know, I agree. I applaud them. And I don't compare myself to him, but I can't think like he thinks. He's just too brilliant for me. He thinks logically, and he's a great teacher. I'm more of an encourager. I don't feel bad about that. I'm just saying that there, you don't compare yourself, but there is a difference between all of us. And I am so thankful to the Lord. If you were here when the transition happened, man, it was so smooth. You didn't even feel a ripple. You know, everybody, it was largely because of Andrew and Carrie. They really have a love for the Lord. They aren't in this for themselves. They really aren't. They want to please God more than anything else. And they are people of integrity. And the staff, my goodness, the staff was so kind. Sylvia and Chad and the others who were on here, there are some new ones now. But, man, they were so great. That's why it went smoothly. But my transition from Valley Christian Center in 2001, when I was 50 years old, wasn't good at all. Matter of fact, it was really, really difficult. And the senior pastor and myself, we had a parting of the ways, and our relationship was done. It was broken. I felt like I had been deceived and lied to. Now I need to preface this because when I say I felt like I was deceived, that doesn't mean I was. How many of you know that your truth is not always the truth? Sometimes you can be in a situation and it's so skewed that you think it's this way, but it may not be that way. So I don't come with any judgment looking back on who is to blame. I'm just saying I felt like I was deceived and lied to. And so our relationship split. 3 years later, I came here to the church in 2004 in January. It was my first Sunday. I had been here for a few months before that, but January 1st, 2001 was my 2004 was my first Sunday here. that year, just before Thanksgiving, the night before Thanksgiving, I had a dream. And I dreamt that I was reading the book of Hosea. I don't know. When I woke up, I thought, what's even in Hosea? So I went to it, and it was chapter 6 that was stuck in my mind. And here's what chapter 6 says. Let us return to the Lord. We've been torn, but now he will heal us. We've been injured, but now he will bandage up our wounds. In a short time, he will restore us and mend us. Instantly, I knew the Spirit was speaking. I was to call the senior pastor and ask him to meet, and I did, the very next day on Thanksgiving. And when we got together, I repented. The Lord showed me 5 things that I had done. And so I repented and I asked his forgiveness, and he gave it to me. Now, if you've ever had an experience like that, where you've asked for forgiveness, you oftentimes will, it's like a scale. If you say, please forgive me, then, and they say yes, then they will oftentimes say, would you please forgive me too? That seems to be the general thing that happens, but you need to be prepared for those times when the other person doesn't think they did anything wrong. They think it was all you. I've had a lot of relationship problems in marriages and things with people, and I've found that it's never 100% one person. There's always a certain percentage, but that's beyond my ability to control. If they don't say that, it shouldn't matter to you. Because you know how you spell forgiveness? F-O-R-E, forgiveness. Before, my grandson came up to me after service and said, hey, you spelled forgiveness wrong. I said, son, I was trying to make a point, okay? Thank you for listening, though, and thanks for taking notes. So, forget before. Romans 5 says, before you were repentant, before you asked me for my forgiveness, I came and died for you. I came back to ground zero. I'm offering forgiveness. I'm not here to judge you. I don't want to judge people. Listen, people have a lot of different lifestyles. I'm not going to judge them. That's between God and them. That he'll sort all of that stuff. I'm committed to loving people. Yes, I have my own opinions and my own beliefs that are based, I believe, on Scripture. But beyond that, it's kind of like I don't try to change anybody. I can't change anybody anyway. God's the only one who can do that. I'm just going to tell my story. I'm going to believe what I know to be true and let him deal with everything else. For all he's God. See, if I mess things up today, I can go walk away and Andrew will have to clean it up next week. So that's a good thing. Forgiveness that day got me healed because that root of bitterness was planted in 2001 when I resigned, but it only lasted 3 years. And the good news is I'm so glad I did that, and you will be glad too, because not only will you get healed, you'll be in God's, aligned with God. I get to go to Phoenix this week to visit with the senior pastor and spend a few days with him. So it's a restored relationship. See, that's what's good about that. And the last thing that God did, see both those things, both steps, he came back to ground zero. He offered and extended forgiveness, not judgment. Those are for us. You and I couldn't have a relationship if he hadn't initiated it. We're the ones who hurt him, but he didn't wait for us to ask for forgiveness. See, if you wait for someone who hurt you, if you wait for them to come back and apologize, you could be waiting a long time. It may never happen. He took the initiative. He came back to our ground zero. He's the one who offered forgiveness. But that was for us. But this last one was for him. It says Jesus offered relationship with us that's based upon freedom, freedom of choice. You don't have to serve God. You don't have to love him. He's not ever going to force anyone to follow him. He makes an open invitation. What's the principle? Principle is this: a forced relationship is not a godly relationship. He said in John 1:9, The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. That's Jesus. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of the natural descent, nor of human decision, or of husband's will, but born of God. He's gave us a relationship. Here's what I believe. I believe that God's heart is still broken in many places. And what gets you healed is if we say yes to him. You know, I don't feel like I'm much of a catch, and maybe you feel the same way. But man, God, when I said, yes, Lord, I do surrender. And I said that years and years and years ago, and I say it on a continuing basis still, because the self wants to get back on the throne many times. But when you say, I surrender to you, man, that heals his heart, because you've come home. I remember in 2005 when I had lost my son to drugs. And he was on the streets and didn't know where he was. And then when we found him, miraculously, and he came home like the prodigal son, I thought, wow, finally my heart's healed. When you come home to Jesus, you get healed. He gets healed. What a marvelous and wonderful thing. So after I had this two-week conversation, things started to wrap up. And so just 2 days ago, I said, Lord, what do you, if you were here in person, what would you say to the people? And here's what I came up with from a few scriptures. Number one, this isn't in your notes, so just listen to me. To those who have been hurt and left to die in your pain. I felt all alone. I couldn't talk to my dad. We didn't have a relationship. My mom had passed away, and so I couldn't talk. I felt all alone in this deep pain that was caused by my high school years. He said, to those who have been hurt and left to die in your pain alone, I have seen your pain, and today, he says, I come as a good Samaritan to heal you, to bandage your wounds, to lead you to a place of restoration and make sure that you are restored. That's from Luke 10, 35 through 37. That's what the Good Samaritan did. God comes if that's you. He said, some here today have experienced the hurt and pain of divorce, and God wants you to know, God wants us to know, those who have been divorced, he too has been hurt and broken over your divorce. But, however, the pain has increased because your ongoing relationship with your ex is very tumultuous. I'm asking you to go back to ground zero. Don't worry any longer about what your ex does or doesn't do. Just do what I'm telling you, and then I can heal you. Then, when you interact with your ex, you will not be the one putting wood on the fire. Proverbs 26:20 says, without wood, a fire goes out. Third thing he said to everybody, do everything within your power to restore any and all broken relationships. If you're the one who hurt others, go and repent and ask for forgiveness. If you're the one who has been hurt, then go and offer forgiveness. In doing so, you will be healed. Number four, Lord said to all of us, those who hurt you may have meant it for evil, but I've decided to use it for your good. And last of all, because I know that there are some people who get hurt over everything, I've had people come to me and say, you know, you hurt me, Pastor. And I said, well, tell me about it, because I didn't mean to. And I said, well, you didn't wave at me the other day. I'm serious. Or you didn't say hello to me. And maybe I don't know. No, I just didn't notice. To those who are overly sensitive, please stop letting people hurt you. Stop listening to their negative comments. They don't have the power to destroy you. If someone can ruin your day, and you've given your power away. I've given you power of love and a sound mind. Man, take it back. You don't have to believe everything that people say about you. If I'd have known that back in those days, back in my high school days, I'd have said to those jocks and those cliquish people, say, I don't really give a rip about you. Wouldn't use the word S-H-I-T, but I'm just give a rip. Well, I might have back in those days. Well, let me wrap up and just say I would be lying to you if I told you that I was totally healed from my wife's death 8 months ago, but I'm in process. You need to know that healing is a process. Miracles can happen instantaneously, but healings take time. And anybody can get healed if you go back to ground zero like Jesus did. If you offer forgiveness and ask for forgiveness like Jesus did. And if you lay down your expectations, who knows, maybe that broken relationship can be severed. It may not be like it used to be, but it can be like it's gonna be. I know with a senior pastor I'll visit, I have a good relationship. It's not like it used to be, but it's good. God repaired it, restored it, because it's like, I hope that you don't think that I'm just here to talk about myself. The reason I share these stories is because we all have a story. And once you've got healed, don't tell people your story when you're still bleeding, okay? Get healed first. And once you get healed, then tell your story, and it can be an encouragement to someone else. One of the staff members came up and says, one girl came and she just fell into my arms crying because she was so bitter from a childhood experience. That's what your story can do. It's what my story hopefully can do today, is to help us if we got hurt. Now you may not be here and notice any hurts, and that's okay, because the only one hurt that I have is my wife's death that I'm still healing from. All the other hurts have been healed. Unless the Lord shows me that I haven't been healed, I don't go the other direction every time I see you. You know what I mean? I'm not going to try to avoid you. I don't wince when I hear certain names. I've been healed. But that's a process. But what I can say is that God has been faithful to heal the litany of hurts that I have experienced. And listen, you've been hurt too, time and time again. True? Yeah, good. You didn't have to raise your hand. Just nod. That's good. We've all been hurt. Isn't that the first thing, one of the first things I said? It says, what is, all of us have been hurt by people or individual people from time to time. And God has offered us healing. So, let me leave you with two scriptures. Psalms 34:8. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Thank you, Jesus. And Isaiah 61, prophecy about Jesus when he comes. The Spirit of the Lord is on me to heal the brokenhearted. I love that. Would you stand with me, please? Prayer teams, would you come, if you wouldn't mind, pray to yourself in case there's someone who needs prayer. Lastly, let me say, may the Lord strengthen you, give you courage to face whatever you need to face, because it's not easy to go back to ground zero. I had a guy just come up to me at the first service. He says, I'm having a hard time with my past because my brother's son killed him, murdered him, and I can't get over it. Some of those hurts are so deep. There's no quick answers to that. It's a process in time, but that's what God did. He came back, faced it, didn't run from it. How many things are we running from all the time, and we never have victory? Running, you got to stand up, turn around, face it. Stand strong in the Word of God. Speak and you'll be healed. So may you grow in strength and go from strength to strength, and may, when you go through the valley of weeping, may God, when you call on him, turn the tables on the enemy and make your tears a source of refreshing strength as you drink from his well. That comes from Psalms 84. Thank you very much for having me today. It's been a joy to be back again. and we'll see what the Lord has in the future.
Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed the message, and we hope to see you on a Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m. Visit us online at kchamford.com, and if you want to support our ministry, click Give. Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.